Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On behalf of the Buffalo Sabres organization, our thoughts and prayers are with the Gaudreau family and the Blue Jackets organization, and we'll certainly continue to have them in our prayers moving forward. So, go ahead.
Kevin, as training camp opens and you start watching the players, what are the things that you're looking for? You only get three practices, basically, and you put a couple games on. What are you looking for here?
Well, I think it's a unique training camp. When you hit the ice this morning here in an hour, you're looking for attention to detail, pace, execution. The days are over of, okay, it takes a few days to get into this, and players train so hard now. They've been going, you know, at it pretty good. So now it just, you know, kind of kicks it off officially. So, but yeah, right into it. No, to me, today's day one on our step to try to do something special, and it's an opportunity, and that's what I talked to the players about yesterday. It's an opportunity to get better. It's an opportunity to raise our standard. You know, every one of us in this organization has to raise our kind of personal standard, and that's what I challenged the group on yesterday, and Lindy did as well. And so you understand the first day, there's a little bit of, even as a veteran, there's always a little bit of anxiety, adrenaline, whatever you want to call it. But I expect us to quickly grasp the system that Lindy's going to be putting in place. And we are treating today as not day one of training camp, basically as the season starting. And you'll see a little bit of a different camp because of going to Europe and because of the new coaching staff.
So much talk last year, Kevin, about noise and pressure. What gives you confidence that this group is better prepared to handle that going into this camp and season?
Yeah, it's a good question, Lance. I think what I'd say gives me confidence is the amount of conversations that I've had with the players throughout the off season. You know, it started right after the season with individual meetings, and then I had some time where it was some small groups still early on in the off season, and then continuous conversations through the summer, and then as guys started trickling back into town, you know, taking a couple guys out for dinner or, you know, playing golf with Rasmus Dahlin and picking his brain for 4 hours, you know, so it just, you put all that together, and I think we got a hungry group. I think we have a group that is ready to be challenged and pushed. And I reminded them also that yesterday that, you know, when you use words like accountability and structure and they're looking for clarity and looking for more competitive, hard practices, they're going to get it. And, it's one thing to say it, and now we have to back it up and do it.
As a GM and as a coaching staff, just how much almost leverage do you have with these players now? Because they have a lot to prove. They basically said, like you said, the accountability thing, but it falls on them now that you've made a coaching change.
Yeah, I think that's fair. In saying that, I did say yesterday to the group, we're in this together. So this is a we thing. We have to be aligned in every part of our organization. And that's from Terry through me, through the coaching staff, players, right through Rochester, our development staff. So that's important to know. But yeah, I agree with you, Mike. It's we have a talented team. I really like our group. I believe in these guys. I believe in the staff. But nobody's going to hand you anything. And to me, the opportunity we have is pretty special because they're at a great, overall as a group, a great age in their career. A lot of these guys, experience where they've been in the league now, but still in, you know, prime years. They're hungry. They've put in some good work this summer. The time is now, and I think they feel that.
You made a significant deal in July. It was a couple months ago, but I just talked to you. You gave up Matt Savoy, which I'm surprised a lot of people. You
you got Ryan McLeod. Just how hard was it to trade Matt, and what do you like about Ryan? How did he get along?
Yeah, I think if I go back, first of all, on Matt Savoy, I think he's an excellent prospect, going to be a good player in the NHL. You know, I think I probably, before the draft, said to you guys, I had to be open to every scenario of helping our team get better now. We felt that there was a bit of a hole in our lineup in the center position. We were looking for someone that was established, good NHL player, but still had years and could grow. And certainly McLeod fit that, you know, great speed. He's been in the league, played on a really, really good team and played an important role, good penalty killer. Can take faceoffs, so we just felt that, and he's at a great age, so we felt that that was a deal we needed to make. And I said all along, like, you need to draft well, and you need to develop your prospects, but also when there's the opportunity that to help make your team better, you have to be willing to make hard decisions. And we wish Matt the best, but we thought it was the right move for us to help our team now.
As confident as you are about this team going into this season, the bigger picture is the Eastern Conference is a tough nut to crack. How do you view that? Just, you know, knowing that it's been Florida, they've won a cup. Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Boston have been that logjam of tough. How do you view that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair point. I don't spend a ton of time, you know, in terms of thinking about, you know, other teams and what, you know, obviously you're studying what they do or how they've built their teams, but I like to focus more on us being the best version of ourselves. I think puts us right in the position to compete with those teams. I really do. I believe that. They're excellent teams, and they've been there year after year, and they've proven that. But when I look at our team and I look at where we are and the opportunity and some of the talent and, you know, now the identity that we're starting to have as a team that hopefully you'll see right away, I believe we can be right there with that group.
And now that Benson's a grizzled veteran at 19. What can you expect in his second year now as he moves forward?
Well, you know, like, I think there's always a question in year two of, you know, does a player think it's going to come easy because, I spent my rookie year in the NHL. Zach's not that type of guy. He's certainly 19 years old. You're still going to go through your ups and downs like all players, especially young players. But I think what he started to show last year was that no matter where you put him, he made plays and he made the players around him better. And the top players like playing with him, and he's also really responsible defensively. So what I get excited about as I look at our roster and the way the summer kind of came together is I think there's a lot of internal competition. I really do. I think there's depth now at all positions. I think we've put ourselves in a good spot in terms of building the roster out in depth and prospects. But then in terms of our players on our team right now, there's going to be serious competition for ice time. And Zach's going to be right in the middle of that. And I think that's a great thing to have.
How do you foster that competition during training camp when it's such an unusual setup? You have separate groups, a big chunk of your NHL team is going to go over to Europe in 6 days.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get right to it, Lance. Honestly, so you'll see at 9 o'clock, it's our team pretty close, you know, and that was by design because we don't have time to, you know, mess around. And I just think right from this morning, you're going to see competition. You're going to see Lindy and the coaches not pushing the guys to just say, let's have a hard practice, but pushing the guys to say, let's get better. Let's implement our system right away. And there's going to be non-negotiables. And that's what I think our players are craving. You know, non-negotiables meaning you don't back check, you don't play. You don't get the puck deep at certain times, you don't play. I mean, those aren't threats. That's how we have to be to push each other to the next level. So I think that's going to be the standard that Lindy's going to talk about this morning and, right through camp. And I just think that the practices are going to be even heightened more, and I think the players understand that because there's not a lot of time to mess around. I mean, we get a couple exhibition games, we get right over to Europe, you play Red Bull, and then it's time to go.
What was your reaction to
Well, I thought he dominated, say it mildly. I thought he was the best player on the ice in the games he played in. And, I have been telling you for 2 years, I think this kid's going to be a special player in the NHL. And I still do. He's a young player. He needs to work on certain areas of his game. But what I love about Jiří is he from Seth and the coaching staff last year in Rochester, he took the feedback and really put, you know, the work in the summer and how can I be better in areas. I mean, I think if you guys were watching closely, besides the goals, we all know he's got an elite shot and he can make plays, but the puck battles and the getting to the net and getting under guys' sticks, and that's the stuff that, you know, he put a lot of work and thought into that. So, you know, I think we've backed this up. When a player kicks the door open and belongs, we make sure they're here. And this is all about winning, you know. So if we feel right now he's going to help our team, then he's gonna be here. And if he's not right in the beginning, that just it's just a matter of time until he is. We'll just let that sort itself out.
How much do you hope that Dylan Cousins' performance just translates and he becomes the player to play that dude plays up to his potential?
Yeah, he's a key guy on our team, you know, and that was the message that I had for him in the off season was that, you know, like he has the ability to play that true 200-foot game where as in the center ice position that he can be hard to play against other teams' top lines. He can score. He can play on the penalty kill, power play. We need him to improve his face-offs and just become that player that, you know, I said to Dylan on when you look at Stanley Cup teams, man, you need guys like him. And so, you know, some of it I think as a young player, he was last year maybe putting a little bit of pressure that I have to live up to a contract. I have to score a certain amount of goals. I just told him, I just want you to be the best version of yourself every day and compete, and the rest of his talent will take over. So, but yeah, we need him to be a go-to guy.
What did it mean to you to have a guy like Gullin bring you guys together in Europe to have like their own kind of camp, I guess?
Yeah. It's a big deal. I think it says a lot about Rasmus, the leader that he's grown into and become. But also says a lot about our group that, I mean, it wasn't just Europeans that met over there. You know, we had Owen Power had flown over there. Samuelson flew over there. I mean, guys coming from North America, they love being around each other and being together, but they also push each other to get better. So that's the stuff that, you know, is out of our control in terms of management or coaches. It's the summer. They do what they want to do. But I just think it sends a pretty good message that these guys, you know, were willing to do that in July. And, you know, I think that you can't force those type of things. It has to happen just kind of organically, which is pretty cool to see that it did.
The significant trades you made earlier in your time as GM were for futures, but these last two big ones were for NHL guys who can help you win now. Can you walk us through the process of making, you know, when you're deciding who to acquire, these, you know, Middlestad and Savoy, those are significant pieces that you're giving up to vet and really make sure not only is the player going to be a fit off the ice, but on the ice in terms of how you want to play? What was to make sure McLeod and...
Yep. Well, I think, you know, as you put the roster together, we've tried to be really disciplined how we've done this over the last few years. And I know at times, me especially, you want to fast forward. You want to try to, you know, do this quicker. But the reality is we had to stay disciplined and try to set ourselves up to be a team that can have sustainable success. As we get into this, you know, I'd say last year, we started to really look at our roster about where are our holes? What do we need to do to take the next step? And I felt for a couple of years, we were looking for a top four defenseman. They're very, very difficult to acquire. You generally have to draft them. And I understand why, you know, that's a big part of a team. So to be able to get Bo and yeah, I mean, Casey Mills, that's a heck of a hockey player. Part of the drafting and part of the players that you have coming up in the system allows you to make that trade, which is a difficult trade to make. And, you know, but of course, we already touched on McLeod and why that deal made sense for us. But also, like, you look at Malenstein trade and, you know, you could say, well, is a second round pick, or how do you decide what the value is for a trade like that? We felt we needed to be harder to play against. We needed more physicality. He fit exactly what we were looking for. We have the assets, so you make the deal. And that's the mindset right now. We're going to do everything every single day to try to help our team get better and win hockey games. And that was part of my message to the group also, not just our players, but staff. It's the decisions we make are about winning, and that's what we need to do.
You still have a lot of cap space. I'm sure fans are wondering why that is the case after the summer. What is your what is your stance on spending or the need to spend to win compared to what you have on the roster? And just your, how do you feel comfort-wise, your ability to, you know, if you do have a need arise in the coming months to use that space?
Yeah, to clarify, just so our fans understand, there's been zero pushback from ownership about what we can spend or can't spend. It's we will spend the money that we think we need to spend to win. And, you know, I think one thing I try to probably explain before, but as you put your roster together, you can't just look at it as today. You're predicting what future contracts look like. So this past summer, you know, you're looking at certain situations, whether it's trades or potential UFAs, and really wasn't the dollars, because we could have spent more dollars. It was the term. And what does that do to the next 3-4 guys that we probably have to sign next summer? So that's all part of the equation. But for me, it's never been about, it's been about that. It's been about putting a roster together that we believe can win. And I will say, if we think we get, if it could be in training camp, it could be October, it could be at the trade deadline. If we think there's a deal out there that'll help us get better, we're going to attack it. So there's never been any issue from Terry on that. And he's provided every possible resource since I've been the general manager.
How do you address the skeptics, those who fans who are complaining about 13 years, and I know that's not entirely on you, but and having heard other GMs and other coaches come in and say a lot of the same things, not to say that I don't believe you're confident, I know you're confident, but how do you address the skeptics?
Yeah, I mean, it's noise. Like, I don't really, John, put too much of my time or energy into people that are going to be skeptical of what we do. If they want to be skeptical, that's fine. It's up to us to win. And I get that. You know, like, there's nothing else I could say to people. I can tell you the truth when you ask me questions without giving any secrets away, which I try really hard to make sure I give you guys as much information as I can. I can explain decisions we've made, why we've made them. I can explain how we've put our roster together in the thought process. And ultimately, this comes down to us winning. And I get that. So we have to earn it. I mean, we've said this over the last few years. There's I understand the fan base, but I'm excited about this group. I really am. And I'm excited about the staff. And hopefully the people that you're referring to, which I don't pay attention to, are on board and can't get a ticket in the playoffs.
Kevin, a year ago at this time, a coaching change was not on your bingo card at all. You've been here now. 45 minutes from now, Lindy Ruff is going to step on the ice. What kind of emotion are you going to feel? What's going to be going through your head seeing Lindy Ruff coaching your team and what that means?
Yeah, I mean, it's there's a lot there to that question, Mike, because Lindy Ruff is a phenomenal coach. And when we got into later last season, you know, I had to really, really think this through and spend time talking with Terry about what I felt our team needed. And I think Donnie Granato did an excellent job with our group. I think I said that, you know, after the season. But I felt that we needed kind of this next step in our maturity of our group and the process of being pushed and challenged a certain way. Now, Lindy has had an incredible amount of success in this league, but there's something special about him as a coach and a person that I was fortunate enough to be part of for 4 years and just see on a day-to-day basis. So certainly interviewing other candidates, that gave a big advantage to Lindy because I've lived it. And I just felt in my core that this is the right person to lead our team. Now, you take the sentimental part of just you go to a Bills game and you just walk to the car with them after, and the amount of fans just wanting to high-five them. And, I mean, that's great, but that's not what this is about. This is about us winning, and I felt that it gave us the best chance to win. And I think from his perspective, you'd have to ask him, but this is a pretty special way to come back later in his career to a place that means a lot to him. And he's a Buffalo guy. He didn't sell his house for a reason.
Kevin, when it comes to goaltending, if Lindy decides he wants to use Lucan in 55, 60 games, would you have to send Devin Dahman so he can play?
Yeah, I think you always balance that, right, Paul? Like, you're always balancing today and how are you going to win hockey game versus when, especially the young player on the development side. And I think it's not as often as it used to be, where you see the number, you know, one goalie on a team just play a ton of games. It's really a two goalie league now, and to be quite honest, you know, that's why I feel good about the depth we added in the off season with Reimer and Sandstrom. You could need three, and we've had positions where we had four. So I think we're set up with depth, which I think is really helpful. But we'll monitor that. I think that'll play itself, you know, kind of shake itself out. And I think the way Lindy's going to handle the goaltenders or defense or forwards is the players they're going to play are going to give us the best chance to win.
But you heard the pack that was two or three on the depth chart. In July, you made a big commitment to him. What gives you confidence that he's going to continue on his path that he has been?
Yeah, I think, taking a deep dive with, you know, goaltending coach from Mike Bales to the analytics to kind of looking at everything gave me comfort that, you know, he's still getting better. You know, I've talked to you guys about this before, especially when you make a long-term commitment to a player, you really want to feel confident that they still have room to grow and get better. And we felt that UPL took a big step last year, but he has an opportunity to continue to grow and get better and better. So I just think he showed last year a maturity about him, a calmness about him, and it takes time, especially as a young goaltender, to get into that spot where you believe every time you step on the ice that you can win hockey games. And I think he took a big step last year.
You got Hayden done yesterday. Seemed to take a while, or deadline other than just get here by
game? Yeah, I don't think it needed to take that long. You'd have to ask his guys why it did, but sometimes the season just there's deadlines that just naturally happen. I mean, it can happen if a arbitration and there's a deadline that we've, you know, handled before. This, I think, in this situation, training camp was kind of the deadline where it needed to get done, and it did. And you know, I'm excited for Peyton. I think he's it's a clean slate for him. He's hungry. He's had a good summer. He's ready to go. And I just think for all our players, but for Peyton, this is a clean slate with a young player still to see where he can, you know, kind of find his way in the lineup.
What role does he have, though, given the veterans you brought in here for the bottom six?
Yeah, I think he's just just like I said earlier, he's going to be competing for ice time just like the rest of the guys. I think it'll sort itself out, Mike. But what I like is He showed some maturity to his game in terms of, you know, the competitiveness and his ability to play defensively better than, you know, when he first came in the league. He was more of an offensive guy. So he's a center ice is a hard position to play as a young player. So, you know, and took steps in terms of that. And we all know he's got the offensive side to his game. Where it sorts itself out, you know, we'll see. But, you know, I really like that. Nobody's comfortable in that locker room right now, that they know they have to compete starting at 9 o'clock for ice time.
What made you want to give them the extra year and a little extra money on top of qualifying?
Well, I mean, we wouldn't – if it was a 1 year, certainly it would have been the qualifying offer, you know, so that's – that when you start to get the two or more years, then, it changes. There's comps you bring in. I think what you're balancing there is if you end up with a player in his position on a one-year deal and – where does he project to come out in an arbitration case the next year? And you try to find the sweet spot that works for both teams. I think it's a good number for him as a young player that's played a couple hundred, you know, games in the league already. But I think for us, it gives also what I like is it gives him the time now to continue to develop into figuring out exactly where he slots in our lineup. And at the number he is, that's fine for me.
In regards to the cap space, you know, a lot of that obviously came from buying out Skinner. What, if not for the financial flexibility, you know, what reasons maybe were behind that? How confident are you that you can backfill that score?
Say it again on Skinner part, you mean the buyout?
Say, you know, the cap space you have is largely a result of the buyout.
Yeah.
So if not to spend the money, you know, what other reasons might there have been?
It's a tricky question because I have a lot of respect for Jeff, and I'm certainly not going to ever say anything other than positive about, you know, who he is as a player and a person. We made a really tough decision because we thought we could be in a position to win more hockey games, and that's the best way to say it. Those aren't easy. But that was the decision we made. And, you know, I think when you look at did we fill the spot or not in terms of goals, you know, I think part of that goes to when the young core and the players we have, we believe will take steps. And that's, for me, the talent is there. And now it's how do we make sure we're playing the right way? And, you know, we're doing all those little things that help our team improve and the players improve individually. And we feel confident that they will.
Is Dolly new captain?
Can't tell you that. But where our plan is to name a captain, and something that Lindy and I have spent a lot of time talking about this summer. And, you know, I think Lindy brought up a good point. You know, he's gotten to know the guys quite well over the summer through phone calls or just spending time. But he wanted to spend a little bit of time in training camp here on the ice and just, you know, being around those guys. But that'll be coming at some point here soon.
So you'll have a captain, just go with a captain in Prague.
We will.
Going injuries or guys that can be able to participate
A couple coming off a rookie camp. Kozak, Panoka are kind of their timelines still up in the air, but they will not be available today. Brunet still, he's back skating, non-contact, but he's getting close, but he'll be out. And did I miss anyone? Okay.
You guys did a lot of work on your fourth line. Obviously changed the look of that. In today's game, you know, obviously when Lindy coached here the first time, like, that bottom six, that fourth line is really important when you play. The importance of that. Like, in today's game, like, how much of an impact do you think having that identity on the fourth line can have on the rest of the line?
I think it's a big deal, Matt, because, you know, it's hard to explain sometimes the way I think of this. And if you just look at minutes, and you were saying, okay, your fourth line is going to play 10 to 12 minutes, say, without, you know, any special teams or whatever. So 10 minutes, but those 10 minutes can make the 18 minutes someone else plays easier because they are just hard and fast and competitive. And so I think for me, the bottom six, but especially that fourth line identity really goes a long way. And then, you know, the more we spend time as a staff talking this offseason and with Lindy and how we wanted to play, and the schedule is tough. You need four lines that can play and contribute. I mean, you go to Prague and you play two games in less than 24 hours. You can't play, you know, your top line 24 minutes both games. It just won't work. So that was part of it. And I just think the competitiveness, the depth, the maturity that those guys bring will go a long way with our group. And you know, when we set out this offseason, we looked at, you know, speed, compete, physicality, identity. You know, the guys that we brought in or, you know, traded for or signed, checked those boxes.
Is the first group, is that the European group for sure, or is it?
Can't tell you that. There could be changes, but I can tell you that first group is out there probably in all my years around the NHL. It's rare where it, you know, you kind of get down pretty close to your team, and that's by design because we don't have time to mess around.
Going back to goaltending, you carried three goaltenders for most of the first half last year. Is that a possibility with Reimer not being waiver exempt?
Yeah, I think it's something we would look at. I'll be the first one to say, and I think I said this last year, it's not ideal. The goalies don't like it. Nobody likes it, but you have to kind of try to figure out what's best for your roster. So we're not going to close the door on anything, but I would say it's not our preference and not something we're looking to do. But if we think we have to based on circumstance, then we'd be open to it.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.